These days, about the biggest way you can insult someone is by calling them boring, normal, basic bitches. A hip-hop slang is getting big on the internet. Hashtag basic bitches. A basic bitch is someone who thinks they're brilliant innovators when in reality are just following the herd.
But what's wrong with liking something everybody else likes? Joining us is one of the most basic gay bitches we know, Tommy Hall, to take a look at why we worry about the reasons why we like things. Are you a basic gay bitch?
Plus, vaginas grown in a lab are successfully implanted onto women's bodies.
Independence Day director Ronald Emmerich announces his upcoming film Stonewall about the events in 1969 that ignited the modern gay rights movement.
Cookie Monster is being used to recruit school children for neo-Nazis in Germany.
And thank you to Edward in California, who works at the happiest place on earth. He just got us a new audio interface.
Thank you, Edward. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Calling all basic bitches, calling all basic bitches, calling all basic bitches. I have a special message for you. You're basic. What the hell is a basic bitch?
Foster just discovered this word today. I don't know. I was reading an article on Jezebel, and it also sent me to another article. The New York Times is writing about the basic bitch. Who is she? And I first noticed like maybe a year or two ago, it's like hearing somebody call somebody basic. I'm like, oh, that's cute. You know, calling somebody basic because that means like, you know, they're common
simple.
Or pedestrian simple. And then I heard one of the housewives from
unsophisticated, honey.
From the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I think they were like in trouble because they were tweeting that somebody was basic or something. I'm like, oh, this is really catching on. And then now all of a sudden College Humor's got this thing coming out and it's like a woman with her husband going to see a doctor and they're like, I'm sorry, ma'am, your diagnosis is
you're basic.
No, I can't be basic. When did this all start?
So basic bitches are people who go to parties all the time, consume goods. They take and don't give back to the world. They enjoy everything that's popular with their own set group, and they dumb down society.
Well, Krayshawn,
who's
a rapper.
Basically, high school?
Yeah. Krayshawn, who's a rapper who raps about like basic bitches, because, you know, it's basic comes from the hip hop culture.
Okay.
And she says, you can smell a basic bitch from a mile away. You can smell the bitch's perfume. A basic bitch is just someone who likes what's typical to like. The radio puts stuff on the radio that they think is typical and you should like it. And that's something a basic bitch would like. She likes those normal brands and wears them all the time because that's some basic shit.
You might be a basic bitch if you give a drag queen $1 as a tip and you ask for change.
Well, that's just cheap.
So it's not basic bitch is not being cheap.
No, there's call somebody basic because they're poor. So if somebody's poor and they don't have money or something like that, then that's not basic.
You're such a basic bitch. The only toy you could afford to play with when you were a kid was language.
That's like your mama jokes.
I think he's just taking some Jeff Foxworthy things and changing them around.
You're such a basic bitch that the value of your car goes up and down by how much gas you have in it.
Is that from Lady Body?
You might be a redneck if...
And so on and so forth. But a basic bitch is not somebody who's poor or like lives in the country.
Or tacky necessarily, just somebody that's...
It's somebody who reinforces the status quo,
right.
and dumbs down society by just being a follower and not thinking for themselves.
Being mundane.
Well, to me, it reminds me of high school. It just feels like that moment when you're wearing North Face, you've got the North Face jacket, you're wearing Birkenstocks.
You still have a North Face jacket.
No, I don't.
You still wear Birkenstocks.
Maybe I do.
You have an Abercrombie & Fitch hat right on.
I am not wearing any of that.
It's Hollister, girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Arrow. Pastel.
So is there like such a thing as a basic gay bitch?
I'm sure there's some common basic things that everyone has in...
You're such a basic gay bitch. You buy shots from the shot boy at the bar.
If you made an It Gets Better video where you sobbed about meeting Cyndi Lauper in an elevator, you're a basic bitch.
Ooh. You know the word, every word to the movie Mean Girls, but never saw Showgirls or even know about Jacqueline Suzanne and Valley of the Dolls.
I've seen Mean Girls and Showgirls, but not Valley of the Dolls. Does that make me half basic?
A little bit basic.
You're half, like a semi-basic.
Yeah. Semi-basic.
The only book you rave about at parties is Running with Scissors and Anything by David Sedaris.
Ooh.
You're a basic gay bitch.
You've seen the movie American Beauty.
You're a basic gay bitch if you follow Tyler Oakley on Twitter.
And you're basic if you know who that is.
You're so basic, you bought your dog from PetSmart instead of adopting a rescue dog. No. How about you're so basic, all your underwear is Aussie Bum, Andy Christian, Ginch Gonch, and Exist, which sounds like the names of medication.
I would have just gone with one. Okay. Your idea of designer underwear is Andrew Christian.
Yeah.
Vodka, you drink vodkas and cranberry drinks because, and you think you're sophisticated.
With your pinky out.
You go out to brunch before you go out. Go out.
You get bottle service at brunch.
You really go out, go out.
Right.
You go out before you go out, but you're already out.
I'm out all day.
You're so basic, you get your news from Twitter by following hashtags.
Hashtag stupid.
Basic.
Stupid. Follow that one.
The only music that you like are the tacky pop divas, the eyes, the Whitneys, Britneys, and Carries of the world.
You're like grandma on your social media. You only share listicles and testicles.
You know you're a basic gay bitch if your online profile mentions any of these celebrities. Lady Gaga, Tori Amos, Imogen Heap, Lana Del Rey, and Harry Potter.
Yes, that's the E, as Curtis Jensen, he calls them the E's. Yes. Whitney's, Britney's, Mariah Carey's.
Christine's. I tried to get that one in.
But what's wrong with liking things that everybody likes?
Well, I think it's just a shared interest. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a new word that, you know, makes people feel like...
Yeah, but don't you kind of feel like when you have people like they Twitter or tweet or they share things like on social media that are just kind of like mundane and common. It's like, why are you even putting that out there? Okay, so you've got a cup of coffee and you're feeling good about it. What's the big deal? You know?
As earlier, like, really? As you were doing a video of the dog eating an apple.
Listen, how often do dogs eat? Have you ever seen a dog eat an apple before?
Well, now I have.
Well, I know. Well,
dog was eating an apple.
And I was like, first of all, I'd like to know, where did the dog get the apple? How did he get that apple? Where did
it fell to
from?
The ground. And he's in love with you. And so he wants to eat what you're eating.
And so how did he even know?
He sees you eating the apple and he goes, this might be delicious.
And then I was like, oh my God, maybe he's alert. Is an apple, can a dog eat an apple? Or will he die like Devin Green?
You're such a basic bitch dog that you eat only dog food, not apples.
And now
with
I have to
yogurt
work.
On top.
I sound like La Ganja Estranja now.
Trying from to do RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
The most hated drag
six.
Queen in the world at the moment.
Come
oh,
on,
poor
season
LaGange.
Six. Let's get basic.
Is it Let's Get Sickening?
Let's Get Sickening.
Let's Get Sickening.
But she does a death RuPaul role. Did a basic thing, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, that's the first time I heard it. They were doing it was one of the she-mail messages.
You know
on
what
the
bothers
show?
Me about RuPaul's Drag Race right now? Yeah. Is that all the girls, even though LaGange Estranja was annoying, that when they got together behind scenes with her and they're all like picking her apart, why she talks and how she fails, that no one said, you know what? I like LaGange Estranja because she popularized that death drop and she got Shangela to break a leg.
Well, wasn't there a bone that like came
She shattered her femur doing a death drop. That's called doing a service to humanity. Can I get a hallelujah?
Why are you wishing pain and suffering on somebody?
I'm just kidding.
That's terrible.
I'm just kidding. Maybe I went a little too far. But, I mean, LaGange Estranja does do some pretty sickening looks. And, you know, maybe the way she talks is a little affected. But
she can
in
dance.
Defense of LaGange Estranja, she's a really strong performer.
Oh, no, she better.
So saying, is she basic? She's not basic?
She's not basic at all, you know? And she has a wonderful drag mother, Alyssa
Edwards.
Well,
what makes a basic drag queen, then?
Alyssa Edwards is a drag mother?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. She pretend or for real?
For
like,
real.
So they like lived in the same town. She taught her how to
honey,
do drag. All that
yes.
kind of stuff. Oh, I had no idea.
Yes, Vivian Panay, Vivian. That's how she goes. Yo, Vivian Panay is doing Alyssa Edwards' makeup. People are like, who the fuck are these drag queens you guys keep talking about?
You gotta watch the show.
You gotta watch the show, but they're like the top drag queens right now in the world, honey. And this is the Feast of Fun podcast, okay?
And you've had just about every single one on
the
show. Right.
I can't stop talking like La Ganja Estranja now that it's in my head.
Yeah.
It's like...
How does she even talk?
It's a virus.
She's like, Mama!
Mama!
Oh, yes, Mama!
Yes, Mama! Pretty much the way every drag queen talks.
Yeah, I think they just attacked her on it.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah. She'll survive. She'll just smoke some dopage and she'll be fine.
Is this a problem with this trend that it's like, you know, white people ruining rap music once again, taking something that was kind of funny and tongue-in-cheek and just killing it.
They'll
running
beat it, to
it
death.
Dead into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Let's just have these little things here in pop culture from here and there. It'll get big for a while and then it'll die down shortly. Might be like the death knell for basic.
If you want to insult a white person, though, call them common, call them boring, call them pedestrian.
Normal.
That is the biggest normal. Calling a white person normal is the biggest insult. It's like calling them racist. If you want to insult a white guy, tell him he's racist.
And if
racist.
You want to insult Gia Gunn, just call her ignorant. Did you watch that episode on Untucked? Because that is the biggest insult that anyone can ever.
To call somebody ignorant.
Ignorant. Honey. That's but funny. I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with liking something that everybody likes. If you sincerely do like something, I think the problem here is that we're questioning the things that people like and not the motivation for why they like it.
Well, I think that there's a shallowness to some of these things. Why do you like it? Because you're told to like it. And so you're not really thinking deeply about it.
You know, and I'm wondering if the music that I listen to on my iPod is the music that I would really listen to, or is it that somehow I was also brainwashed by listening to 80s guitar rock stations, and now somehow I have a taste for Sammy Hagar and Aerosmith, even though their music sucks, maybe.
Maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe. You might be a basic bitch.
I'm a basic bitch for hair metal bands.
Yes.
Because Mark and I fell in love again at an Aerosmith and Kiss concert.
Which our friend, we just discovered, our friend Chef Jamie Lurita came
opened.
Out and opened. He pretended like he came out and before...
He was, you know, this is the thing that they used to do in rock concerts is that fuck with the audience. So like Monique does this, she has a Monique impersonator come out and lip sync to her and people are like, what the fuck is going on here? And then it's the real Monique. Well, Aerosmith used to have, you know, people come on the stage pretending to be Steve Tyler and, you know, people are like, who's that? Is that Slash? Is that, you know, from Guns N' Roses? What's he doing here? You know? And so they had Jamie Lurita basically dressed up as Slash coming onto the stage, which makes no sense because that's a different band, and start acting crazy and dancing to music and
drumming. People believed it?
And people are like, oh my God, it's Steve Tyler!
Oh my gosh!
And then the real Steve Tyler shows up and people are like, oh, a god is amongst us.
It's an imposter.
He shared the stage.
And what's wrong with liking Britney Spears music? I like, you know... If you're toxic, then
hit me, baby.
Womanizer.
Yeah.
You better work.
Work.
That's
bitch.
RuPaul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Work.
It's too late to RuPaulogize. I'm a fan of Willem Belli's parody.
Oh,
songs.
Speaking of Willem, Hakalina was on the show last week, you know, from San Francisco.
Yes.
She was talking about the show, the drag queens of comedy, and they came, and she insinuated that there may have been some cocaine going on, like behind the scenes for some certain performers, and just let it be known that Willem said that he did not partake in any kind of cocaine.
So it's just a clarification.
Just a clarification.
Which you know, honey, if they're saying they didn't do it, they really didn't.
No, we don't know. We don't know if it was an avalanche.
Snowstorm.
But nobody wants to be accused of doing something that they didn't.
But listen, all those girls from RuPaul's Drag Race have done cocaine at one point or another. And when the celebrity is thrust upon them, everybody's like, come on, do a couple of lines of coke. It won't kill ya. And they're like,
otherwise you won't get that audition.
That's right, honey. No. If you want to be a real celebrity, you're going to do some drugs. Okay. That's why all celebrities are like in rehab and recovery programs, you know?
And then they get paid $2 million.
Did I show you the meth yet that I found on the street?
Like 8 times.
Okay. Just wanna make sure. Did you want to smoke any of them?
No, I don't smoke.
Okay. All
right. No.
We showed that to Michelle Visage and she was petrified.
It's like the same bag.
She was intrigued. Heckalina smelled it and was just like, yeah, it doesn't
she
smell like cocaine.
She tried to snort it.
No, she didn't.
See? Nobody wanted to be accused of something they
didn't
do.
Nobody did any. Exactly.
Nobody wants to be accused.
That's a basic bitch. Pedestrian. Honey, you're such a basic bitch. The wig you wear is shake and drop. What is it? Is it shake and wear?
Shake. I don't know what they're actually.
Shake and go?
Shake and go. Thank you.
You got a shake and go wig up there.
Shake and go wig, honey.
That's what Michelle Visage said to Kelly Mantle. She's got a shake and go wig.
You know who has a shake and go wig all the time? Is Coco Peru. And they want her to be a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I'm like telling the listeners out there, is like, hello, Coco Peru cannot drag her way out of a paper bag.
Oh, come on. She's
hysterically funny, a great performer. But in terms of like putting on makeup and wigs,
she has one wig and one basic look.
She's basic.
Oh,
what?
Listen.
Now
her
it's not even becoming basic.
Couture.
It's like, is that a reed? Oh, geez.
Her dresses are couture.
Oh. What do you mean by couture? It's like off
made
the
to,
rack.
Made to fit.
Made to fit.
That manly frame.
Fit to queen.
Honey, because if the dress doesn't fit, she'd just
she
be naked on stage.
She has two wigs now. She's got the flip.
She has the flip and the
classic,
bob.
Classic and then the bob.
And the bob makes her look like a pawn in a chess game.
Because her head's too thin.
It's like a little round head in the big wide bottom.
It's the little character that comes with your on your iPhone when you don't have a picture for your friend. That's what it is.
Oh, we throw some shade. We shade because we love, honey. Yes. We're just kidding. Don't take it personally.
It's so, all the love.
Is basic bitch going to catch on? Is your mother going to be calling people basic bitches?
I hope not.
They're not going to be doing that at the grocery store.
No.
I'll see you later, be a basic bitch at the play date. Like, it's not going to be like that.
It does bother me, though, because it's this idea that, like, you know, it's starting to scrutinize and question everything that we do in terms of, like, art and culture to the point that we can just. You can't just enjoy something anymore. It has to have an agenda. It has to be countercultural. It has to be, you know, this destruction of hipsters versus bros. Like, there are bros that are hipsters and there's hipsters that are bros.
And bros and hoes. And
yeah, honey.
Bros before hoes.
Well, what did the New York Times article said? The difference between hipsters and bros is that hipsters are in denial about who they are and that they don't really necessarily realize there is a hipster.
Who comes
but
up with this stuff?
I embrace
bros
my hipster status.
Embrace being bros.
And being a bro, too. I embrace being both.
And so will basic bitches become like their own like new thing? Will they be embracing who they are and be like, I'm a basic bitch, I don't care.
No, because
I like Starbucks. What?
It might
come
be,
at me.
I shop like at the Gap, huh?
Yeah.
It's like embracing being ignorant. You know, yeah. you can't get too far because you're not standing
well.
For
the Republican
something.
Party goes
you're standing
very far
against
with that.
Well, they do, but it's like it doesn't get them very far politically.
Well, they control a lot of seats in the House.
They're just keeping an ENDA from being passed. It's pretty much just the Republican Party. So any gay person who's like pro-Republican isn't really aware of politics and what's at stake right now.
Well, they're fiscally conservative, although they don't agree with all of the platform of the Republican Party. And they wish that they'd be more inclusive to gays. But, oh well, money's what really counts.
Well, speaking of being rich, Apple CEO Tim Cook has urged Congress to pass ENDA, the Employment Not Discrimination Act. And when Tim Cook wants something, he gets it.
There's an app for that.
Is there an app for getting that ENDA passed? There should be. Where's our app?
Yeah,
really?
And you're going to pay 99 cents for it.
It's ridiculous because it's holding back the economy not having the Employment Non-Discrimination Act because it makes people feel nervous about losing their jobs. And when people feel like they're economically on the fringe, then they're not as confident in spending. And when people are not confident in spending, the economy is slow. So passing ENDA would actually help the economy.
You know, and help people like not get fired for stupid reasons because like you're trans or because you're gay or whatever.
That's right, honey.
So.
And better news today, though, vaginas have been grown in a lab and successfully implanted onto women's bodies.
Finally, I've been waiting.
You can get yourself a designer vagina, honey. Mm. And you can replace those ugly mud flaps you got there with some pretty pink masterpieces.
Well, the thing is, like, with the vaginas that they grew, it's not like the outside, it's the inside.
Oh, it's
so they grew some of the tissue.
So it's a uterus.
So it's that stuff, yeah. And so it's
an artificial uterus. Mm-hmm. And so this is what it comes means.
It comes with Wi-Fi. it comes with.
What this means, Tommy, is that in the future, you could basically, like, drink, you know, go ahead and do all the drugs and alcohol you want to, because in the near future you'll just get a new kidney at a vending machine.
Yeah, next.
So I think that they had like the uterus already in there, like the part where the fallopian tubes and all that stuff go. It's kind of like the area in between.
So they created a shape out of dissolvable fiber, and they grew the cells onto the vagina, and then they just stuck that vagina inside a chick's body and successfully implanted
it. And it took.
And it's her own cells, so it's her own DNA, so there's, like, no problems with it, you know.
The body accepts it.
Accepting it, yeah.
And I think that, you know, what's remarkable about this is, like, you know, this is what they've done just for this. What I mean, Tommy, they might be able to grow your finger back.
Well, or I'll just put a vagina on it.
Tommy has 9.5 fingers, yes. But
from cancer,
you know, maybe. Yeah. And the other thing is, so too, and I, you know, we predicted this in the past, you know, in the future, all the men are gonna have, we're gonna have humongous dongs. Our penises will be really big because of this kind of technology. You'll be able to take some of your erectile tissue, grow it in a petri dish. Maybe you could even do this at home, and then add it on to your dick so that you, like, it'll, you know, get bigger.
Maybe we could just make people smarter instead of just worrying about our body parts.
Well,
listen, having a big dick is important.
It's
important. And if, you know, I just don't want to urge anybody to, like, put themselves in a deep freeze until they live in a future where there's, like, big dongs everywhere. Well, enjoy what you got.
Enjoy
right
the penises around you, but know that in the future they'll get bigger.
That you can upgrade.
But this is, like, really a significant thing, seriously speaking, for, like, transgender people who really, like, especially trans men who wanted to have a penis, or men who've had, like, injuries or deformities in their genitals.
Because like, the clitoris on, you know, on a trans man is erectile tissue, and you could even take some of that and then grow that and grow a penis from there.
Because I welcome that. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be great. This is very important news for LGBT people. And you know, big dicks, who doesn't? Who's not happy?
They're just going to be passing them out at market days.
There's science.
Did you get one? Did you get one? Hey.
Well, if you could add an inch or two or three or four, you not?
Every inch counts. Yeah. You know.
And how many inches would you add if you could add?
Gosh, I mean, could you imagine if there's the guy who already had like a 12 inch penis?
But would you want a 12 inch penis?
I don't know.
I think 8 or 9 would be a good
number. I just wanted to fill my hand.
But no, then you'd have to know how to use it. It was so big, you'd be like, well now I don't know what
you
to do.
You bludgeon people with it. That's what you do with it. You just bludgeon them.
There's Justin Jedlicka, the human Ken doll, who's been on our podcast many times. He showed us his dick, and his is artificially expanded.
His is
expanded.
Made of silicone.
Mm-hmm. It's made out of, well, he injected silicone into his penis.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's not legal, or I don't know if I'm violating like any laws or by telling you guys about this.
Oh, we'll put it behind a paywall.
Yeah. This is a premium podcast.
Premium content. Basic bitches listen to all our free shows.
Yeah, before you upgrade your penis, upgrade your premium page.
That's right, honey. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and upgrade today, because all our podcasts are made possible because of your financial support. And I want to do a shout out to Edward in California.
Yay, Edward.
Yay.
Who works at the happiest place on earth, got us a new audio interface box.
Thank you, Edward.
M-box.
Our old M-box that we use to record the show is 12 years old, and it's an amazing piece of technology that's worked for 12 years. Do you guys have a computer or an iPhone that's 12 years old that's still working?
Shouldn't that work for 100 years?
It should, but this is the problem with electronic devices, is they have electricity running through them, and electricity fucks shit up. And so, you know, it fries circuitry, and so eventually your cell phone, your computer, anything that's electronic is going to break apart. And so it needs to be replaced. And so how we tape the show is through an audio interface that takes my beautiful voice and passes it through a mixer and into digital transformation, which is zeros and ones, and then brings that magic into a computer where your then computer translates those zeros and ones back into sound. Wake up, Tommy!
It's a very expensive piece of equipment.
Yeah, there's science behind it.
I mean, it's very expensive. So
it's very complicated.
This show is dedicated to Edward.
And Edward.
And then it turns
your
penis.
Who's not a basic bitch.
He's not a basic. No. He's really, like, believe me, you know, Edward wants some action. He'll get it.
I'm gonna get it on
He's a good-looking guy.
I'm gonna get it on the interwebs.
And so he can get, like... Because he works for Disney. I don't know sure I should be revealing that.
He's
either.
Mickey? Is he
Well, it's on his Facebook wall.
Okay. Well, if it's on Facebook, it's gotta
but
be
he,
true.
But he, like, you know, anybody who works at Disney, like, gets free passes to go to Disneyland. Yeah,
and so yeah. if you work at Pixar, too.
Do you want to go to Disneyland?
I would love to.
Let's go to Disney!
Yay!
The Feast of Fun is going to Disney!
We're going to Disney World, and we're only going to Magic Kingdom, because that's how we're only here for a day.
We'll stay for a couple days.
Okay.
Oh, no. I always go to California Adventure, honey.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's new. It's different now.
I've never been.
What the hell is it now?
It's Cars, right?
It's Carland.
Oh, it's Carland.
I don't know what it is. It's Pixar
Land. It's Cars, yeah.
Okay. I've never been in the one in California.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. It's so sweet and charming.
Look, I'm pale.
That's the cute little one. It still has that, like, 1950s kind of feel to it.
Oh, cool.
Let's go to Disneyland.
Yay.
When do you want to go?
Well,
let's go tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow's my mom's birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
This is Van Winkle.
Happy birthday, Linda.
Yeah.
My mom's name Linda. Is Linda.
So, Kate Mulgrew, who's the actress who's best known for playing Catherine Janeway, one of the best Star Trek captains in the 25th century. What century does Star Trek take place? Where's Brian Sweeney when you
started? Like 26th century, because it's
25. 26th century.
I should call my friend Jared because when we were having brunch earlier today, then later on we got pizza and he has a Star Trek pizza cutter.
Oh, he does.
Hot. Oh, yeah. He would know.
We're going to a Star Trek themed murder mystery party next dinner party next Saturday.
So it's like Clue.
Yeah.
But who beamed you?
Oh, Faust is going to be so confused. He's not going to know who did what.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna be the...
I'll just be play it for Rengu.
I want to be Romulan or Vulcan because
I
already
have
ears.
So, Catherine Janeway, Kate Mulgrew, also known as Red from Orange is the New Black, and Mary Ryan from Ryan's Hope, issued a statement saying she is not a geocentrist, someone who believes that the sun revolves around the earth. Believe it or not, there are actually still people today... they're fundamentalist Christians who believe that Galileo was wrong about the whole thing, the earth circling the sun thing, and everything you learned in third grade about the solar system was a lie.
Oh, man.
So Kate Mulgrew was hired to do this voiceover narration, and she didn't realize, like, you know... When she was reading the words, the Holocaust did not occur, it would be used against her later on. She said, this is a statement she said, I understand there has been some controversy about my participation in a documentary called The Principle. Let me assure everyone that I completely agree with the eminent physicist Lawrence Krauss, who was himself misrepresented in the film and who has written a succinct rebuttal in Slate magazine. I am not a geocentrist, nor am I in any way a proponent of geocentrism. Resistance is futile. I don't know. Live long and prosper. I apologize for any confusion that my voice on this trailer may have caused. You know,
she just said I was just a hired voice.
You know that Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart, is just shaking his head going, girl, what are you
doing? Well,
what are you doing?
You think he's thinking, oh, she's a basic bitch.
She's a basic bitch.
She is.
Well, yeah, but also, listen, he's got these opportunities in Hollywood that she'll never get. I mean, look at all those movies he's been in. I mean, he's a wealthy man.
And we all know that the sun and the earth all revolve around Kanye West. Okay?
Yeah. Basically.
Thank you, D-listed, for that joke.
Mm-hmm. Cling. There you go. So, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Cosmos is causing an uproar. The Neil deGrasse Tyson television series about science.
Well, they poke at religion on that show.
Well, religion, is a very messed up, wonderful tool that used to serve humanity and, you know, has now been transformed and has always been transformed into a political symbol, but it's a political tool for destruction. And at the same time, I don't want to, like, get into a discussion about, like, the value of people's faith, because obviously there is value to it. But at the same time, it's like, when your religious beliefs get in the way of you being able to see the world as it really is, to function as a human being, to love your family and your friends, then maybe your religion needs to be revisited or rejected.
Smart words, Fausto.
Think about that, honey.
And it's, you know, it's
don't be a basic bitch when it comes to Jesus.
Because the show's so...
Because all he wore was a robe.
Because you're enjoying the series, right?
I'm liking it. You know, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson is no Carl Sagan. And I'm a huge fan of Carl Sagan. And he's I consider him a spiritual, if there's such a word, a father to this podcast, to my sensibilities, to everything that I do. And his fascination with the universe and his desire to create, you know, ties to things that don't normally go together, you know? And so when he tries to teach and educate people, he says, what does this on column A have to do with column B? And that's part of the reason why we do and talk about so many things on this podcast, why it's a feast of fun and not just a appetizer.
Not just
of
a taste.
Not just a little cocktail.
Not just a snack.
The thing with Cosmos is I feel as though it's a little too basic. Not basic like the way we've been using it, but basic in the sense that, like, this is the basic science that I learned in high school, some of it, and, you know.
But it's beautifully illustrated.
And it's beautifully illustrated. It's well told. And for somebody that maybe didn't take, like, 4 years of science in high school, maybe they don't know it.
I forgot that, you know, human beings share 50% of their DNA with a banana.
I thought it was more.
A banana.
And that chimpanzees share 97% of our DNA with us.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. We're so close to those monkeys.
Banana that chimp is eating is cannibalism if you think about it in DNA.
Oh, you guys are so hairy.
You gotta eat what you gotta eat.
I've been with some men who, you know, I'm not sure if I was having sex with a human being or
but you still
or
did,
another species.
But you still did it anyway.
I still did it and I enjoyed it.
I'm kind of amazed. We were just before we started taping the show, we started watching Kitchen Nightmares and the people.
Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
That's the only episode I've seen, and it is just epic.
What episode?
It's the Amy's Baking Company.
The ABC, honey.
So they're
ABC.
Back. They did a follow-up. Of course, you know, we talked about it was last summer, right?
In Scottsdale, Arizona.
This couple, Amy and her husband, ran this restaurant, and it was terrible service. He was taking the waiters' tips and saying, well, I give them a good hourly wage, so they shouldn't be able to keep the tips, that kind of thing. She's serving,
like,
you know, food,
backwards.
And he's starting to tell her, like, you have to be like this, and she's, like, saying no, and she's just like, oh, people. And she was fighting with people on Yelp. And, like, calling them pansies
and Facebook and all that stuff.
All these things. And so
she was screaming the N-word. It was
they
horrible.
Did a follow-up. Now, Gordon didn't go in, but they sent in, like, one of the producers to go in there and, like,
she didn't say
them.
The N-word.
She didn't know.
See,
she didn't.
Don't want to be accused of things that you didn't do. That's why that's why she's defending herself.
Yes. Yeah,
because it's people like you.
You know, and the thing about it is the reporter really was ethical, she might say.
On the follow-up, right?
On the follow-up, the reporter that came there is just instigating her. You know, she's just sitting there going, oh, I'm just a neutral reporter trying to get the real story here.
How did being on, you know, Kitchen Nightmares change your life or the story or the restaurant?
And you know, and what I would have done if I was that reporter, I would have said, do you realize that the way that you're talking right now and the way that you guys bicker with each other and the way that you're giving me this information is just perpetuating the way people think about you? Like, get them to
think
reflect
about
upon
their
themselves.
Behavior.
A good interviewer gets the guest to think. And that woman was not interested in getting Amy or her husband to think. She was interested in getting them heated under the collar and getting that on camera.
Yeah, they're all like riled up and they were just yelling.
And she's just
and screaming.
Like, let's see these people freak out. Let's see them freak out. What
like they
do?
Did on the show.
Yeah.
Basically what they did.
It was a different, you know, person with a microphone instead of Gordon Ramsay was that other reporter but it was the same thing.
Well, when you guys go to Disneyland, make a stop at Arizona first and then
I would love
it.
To go to Amy's Baking Company.
You know, we had a listener of the show that actually went to eat there and said it was like boring. It was food was fine. Nothing bad happened. It's just a regular old restaurant. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the food was really good, and the desserts are really good.
And some tiramisu, and...
And he's all like, the ravioli is frozen. And I'm like, who's the... That's the biggest dig you can do.
That's all my dig.
Well, that's the only, that's only as far as he got, because they went so batshit crazy on
He
them.
Was there for a while, you know? It's like, he could have looked at the way they made their food, you know? She puts the fucking pizzas in a wood oven. You go to Pizza Hut, you ain't getting no wood oven at Pizza Hut.
Turns the oven on.
Honey, they put that on a conveyor belt. They don't even close the oven.
But they're still open. I'm surprised.
I know.
Because even when the reporter went in there was nobody in the store.
Well. So,
they may have gone at like an off hour, though, like, you know, in the afternoon. Because, you know, those places have their hot times and times when it's going to be slow.
And I understand when, you know, someone just decides that it's fun to, like, pick an attack on somebody on the internet, and then it becomes all, like, a mob mentality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people are ready to kill her.
The best thing to do is just laugh that off. Yeah. You know, girl.
It's not to even respond to it anyway.
It's Yelp. What are you going to do?
I think, though, for some restaurants, though, Yelp can make you or break you. If you have a lot of bad Yelp...
If Yelp makes you or break you, then you really weren't that good of a restaurant.
Well, there's people going into a store and they're having the same issues, the same problems. And you keep, you know... I mean, I went to a store in Lincoln Park to buy, like, a clothing store. And I didn't know that after the final sale, it's like you couldn't return anything. But they gave me a receipt that didn't have... the policy on the back of the receipt. So I didn't know. It was the first time I ever bought anything there, and they were saying I couldn't return it for my money. And so you go on Yelp, and everybody's had the same problem, and the store's not there anymore.
Well, there you go.
Okay. I'm happen. Just saying. I mean, it was just that people were having the same issue, and, you know...
And people were having the same issues with them as well. It was kind of reoccurring
It's the customer service.
But some
service.
Of those people, you know, you've seen these reviews on Yelp too, where it's like people just have ridiculous expectations of what kind of service they should have or expect, you know. And like I've seen people say, well, I wanted this special dish made for me and the chef said he couldn't do it or wouldn't do it.
Well,
order from the fucking menu. That's why you're in a restaurant. They got a goddamn menu.
But at the same time, it's a godsend to have Yelp if you're getting really shitty customer service. And you have no other recourse, and the manager's kind of like shrugging their shoulders. When my aunt had her funeral, we stayed in a hotel in San Antonio, and my mom's elderly, she's disabled, she walks with a cane, and she asked for a wheelchair accessible room at the hotel. And the fucking room that they gave us stunk like cigarette smoke.
And did you put it on Yelp? Did you complain on Yelp?
Well, my sister's boyfriend just went to the manager, and you know he's this big, thick Texas guy. He said, I will write a review on Yelp if we don't get service. And so they gave us free breakfast and moved my mom to even a better room. And
oh, nice.
So it was nice. I was able to sit in a jacuzzi.
And then they bought
her
a pack of cigarettes.
I know. But let me tell you, people, don't open Scruff or Grinder in San Antonio.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to tell you, because it's going to crash your app.
Everyone's like...
It's, you know, I think like when you go to a town that has a large population
of people
and it's a culturally a little conservative, as, you know, San Antonio is, it's Texas, it's Catholic,
I've never been
it's
to
Mexican.
Texas at all, so.
So a lot of the gay guys on these apps are in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's like you get 100 people messaging you asking for photos of you without any photos of themselves. You're like,
I
can't see it, I don't want it.
If I can't see it, I don't want it.
Guess who's coming back on the podcast like in days from now?
Who?
Johnny Scruff in the studio
in person.
And we're going to be talking about how to hack Scruff to maximize your sexual encounters.
So you can get more subscriptions so you can continue.
More podcasts. No, in order to, how to hack Scruff to get that relationship you've always wanted, to get that friend you want to have, collaborate with people for good sex, how to use these hookup apps to their maximum advantage. Because there's a lot of little tools in them that you may not be familiar, and Johnny Scruff and us are going to walk you through how to like put on, you know, how to do an online profile pic, how to deal with the bullshit that you get thrown at, how to like get somebody's attention that you secretly covet. That's all.
That'll be fun to get the inside scoop.
How to talk to people in person after you have met them.
I wonder, should we call it a hookup app in front of him? He kind of wants us to call it a social networking app.
It's a hookup app.
A social
app. But is he coming back in town for an event at Sidetrack?
Yeah, he's doing like a scruff party.
Yeah.
You going to go to that?
He's going to do that. When is it?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll look it up.
It'll be on Friday.
It's probably that Friday night.
I mean, it's on Facebook already.
So it's not this Friday, but next Friday here in Chicago at Sidetrack, Johnny Scruff, and Tommy and me and Mark are going to be hanging out.
We'll be 0 feet away from you.
Another person that's coming back on the podcast soon. We've only had him on the podcast once, right? Is Nick Starr.
Oh,
Nick Starr
boy.
Kind of he grew into like internet fame because he was the first to suicide Twitter. So he tweeted like that he was going to throw himself off a bridge, and so he became famous because of that.
This technophile. He's like a rabid right-wing fundamentalist, but instead of for Jesus, he's for technology. And he has this uncanny ability to piss off people.
He knows what to say to make them mad.
And so he
throughout,
you know, we've been podcasting for 10 years and he's been written in the New York Times about being the first person to commit suicide on Twitter. Attempt suicide.
Well,
on
maybe
Twitter.
You can commit suicide on Yelp.
He like got attention before for something
else.
He was going to
jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, but he tweeted that too, and they have alerts for that. And so they
And then he was
that.
Outed on a podcast, which got also media attention as well, because it was the first time somebody was outed on a podcast, which, you know, back then when podcasting was like the only exciting thing on the internet. And then most recently he's been, you know, trying to assert himself for wearing those Google glasses. And popularizing this term called Google Glasshole, because he's like
he's going
demanding in restaurants and even in his place of employment to be able to wear a device that allows him to record people on his own terms and posting it on the internet. And so the consequence, he lost his job. He's like banned from like going to bars and restaurants, and he's like a social pariah. So we here on this podcast like to give people a second chance. We're going to get Nick Starr on the show and rake him over the coals.
Where does he live?
He lives in Seattle.
But he was originally from Florida and lived in San Francisco for a while. But I also think, too, is like, you know, I'm interested in talking to him about what does privacy mean in this day and age.
But do you think
and
you're just giving him more of attention that he's just going to keep doing this?
Oh, he's totally attention-seeking behavior. But he also might have a point, though, too, you know, is do I have the right to record everything that I see?
And
I mean, if it's in,
do I
in
own who owns what I record? If everything that I see is everything that I see with my eyes, do I have ownership of that?
Well,
do the
I mean,
images in my head,
like that pile of money.
Yes. Yeah, but you've just turned, you know, a phone that you can videotape things. It's now it's on your eye. Is it really any that much different?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he's saying. It's like, look, all these people have smartphones. All these people can record stuff just as easily as I can and take surreptitious photos. But with those eyeglasses, you know, people have like a real kind of almost irrational fear of them. But also, I mean, maybe they have a valid concern in that
I don't want people videotaping me. I don't want to be like, I'm sipping on a latte and Nick starts like blinking, taking pictures of me and be like, look at Fausto with a milk mustache.
But they're not doing it with the Google Glass. They're doing it with their phone. I mean, anybody
it's just
going to
make people more obnoxious on Instagram. Do we really need that?
Yeah.
Do we need, you know, more twerking videos out there?
We done with those.
I mean, they're not attractive glasses either.
No, yeah. They look horrible. You know, until they can make Google glasses look like regular glasses.
But Nick's never been fashionable, though.
No. And that's part of his magic, I guess, if you're going to describe him. He has an uncanny ability to be a basic bitch, basically, when it comes to
basically.
Basically. Basic bitch, honey.
Basic.
Peaches Christ is going to come on talk about gay villains.
Yes. Who are the most hated gay men that are alive, not dead? So Roy Cohn is out of the picture. Serial killers out of the picture. Gay men, for whatever reason, are hated by a large group of number of other gay men or the general public. And are they guilty or innocent of the crimes they're accused of committing?
And Fausto posted this on Facebook and we got some interesting answers. A lot of people saying Dan Savage.
They
some
were like Dan Savage,
Michael Lucas,
number
the porn
top.
Producer.
Yeah, Michael
Johnny
Lucas.
Johnny Weir.
I think, you know, and so, it, you know, we're going to be like Q on Star Trek.
judging gay manatee.
Gay manatee.
The trial was the whole thing.
And so the question that everybody was asking me was like, you know, why do you guys focus on the negativity? It's like, you know, you're gay media. You should be uplifting our community, focusing on things you like. And I said, well, sometimes it's, you know, it's important to call into question and to call out people on their bullshit.
And to diss.
And to diss.
To have
diss.
Fun.
And to have a good time and to throw a little shade and throw a little, you know, kiki. And so with Peaches Christ, she's going to weigh in and she's going to be the ultimate arbitrator of whether your most hated gay celebrities are deserving of your scorn.
Should be the Judge Judy.
Yes, an executioner.
Baloney. She'll do that.
Does the word stupid, is it written on my forehead? Because you're acting like it is.
Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
I know.
I love that one.
Bianca Del Rio.
She was great.
Bianca Del Rio is not available, but she will try to get her on once she wins RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
If she wins RuPaul's
if she Drag Race.
I'm banking on her.
Yeah, it's kind of like even if she doesn't win,
she
won. Because mm-hmm. the internet declared her a winner
she
already.
Wins. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Everyone's like, you won.
Tomorrow night is the their challenge is going to be a talk show. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're interviewing. Well, it's already been in the promo, so it's not like I'm saying anything new, but it's Chaz Bono and Cher's mother.
Oh, that's a hard interview to do. Chaz is real dry.
Is
but it? I heard actually that Courtney Act does really well with it.
Okay.
Because he was on the show and they became friends.
Oh, okay.
So, and they were like touring
Australia. I think they were
Australia.
Doing stuff in Australia too.
Yeah. So I think Courtney Act probably does really well. Because Chaz is kind of like quiet. He's shy.
Is he?
Yeah. So
it's all that tease just chilled him out.
It chilled him out and he's, you know, he's a little still uncomfortable with who he is. And although he's much happier as a person now, you know, interviewing somebody who's in that kind of psychological space is not easy. So they're definitely making it hard. And then, you know, Cher's mom she's old. You know what I'm saying? She's not Cher.
No, she's close to 90, right?
Yeah. So
it's not like 90. Cher's like 67, right?
So when you ask an old person a question, usually they're it's kind of an obvious question that, you know, people want to know the answer to, like, have you ever tried on your daughter's gowns? Cher's mom would just be like, of course I have. You know, because like,
you
ask
eat
my
lunch
mom,
every day.
Yeah. So those are hard people to interview.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, I think in the first season they had, Tori Spelling and her husband interviewed. And of course they're very vivacious and very outgoing and funny. So all the interviews were really interesting.
Well, maybe they'll get Chaz drunk or something and make them
more
fun.
Well, we'll see. That's why I have to tune in.
So out director Roland Emmerich, who's made directed such films as Independence Day, The Day After Tomorrow, and White House Down, all those action films. His next project he's working on, his pet project, is a movie about Stonewall. And it's going to star Jeremy Irvine from War Horse. So it's going to talk about, you know, the galvanization of the gay rights movement in June of 1969.
So how is it going to be any different than on any other movie about Stonewall?
Well, I mean, it's from the same director as like Independence Day. And so maybe there'll be like, you know, aliens coming down and killing everyone.
It's
and
be like Mars Attacks.
Welcome your gay overlords.
Today we celebrate our gay Dependence Day.
There's just going to be another day.
And funny that Bill Pullman also, what is it? No, I'm sorry. I'm ruining my own joke. What's the name of the guy who flies his airplane up the
Randy
Quaid.
Randy Quaid, yes.
Randy Quaid also makes a cameo in this movie, shoving something up something's ass. Thank you. I worked hard on that joke.
Oh,
thank you.
Ring your bell.
Yes, for myself, goddammit.
That's a good one.
Oh, good job.
Cookie Monster is being used to recruit school children for neo-Nazis in Germany.
Why Cookie Monster? Jeez.
So neo-Nazis just thought, you know, kids like Cookie Monster, so they put Cookie Monster on pamphlets, and it's literally like Cookie Monster and Hitler, which kind of reminds me of the website Bert is Evil. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Bert is evil.
Bert is responsible for every atrocity that ever has happened to humanity. So someone photoshopped Bert into every, you know, notorious image of history.
What about Ernie?
Ernie's good
Ernie's
guy.
Off sucking dicks Ernie in the didn't glory do anything hole on wrong. Sesame Street.
So, like, for example, when they had the guy being shot in the head in the Vietnamese-Korean revolution or something, the Bert is shooting the gun at him,
oh
you
my
know?
Gosh.
And then, like, so the three tanks that are running over the guy in Tiananmen Square, Bert is driving
like
the tank.
Like that chick that's got napalm all over her. He's the one that's dumping, like, napalm on her.
Yeah, so Bert is in every, like, you know, Bert is responsible for September 11th and all this stuff. So now neo-Nazis seriously are actually using Cookie Monster and dressing up as Cookie Monster too outside of schools and passing out pamphlets being like, we are the master race. And I'm like, why school children?
They gotta start young.
But it's one of those, you know, have you ever seen those Jack Chick comic book tracks that are like Christian fundamentalists use, you know?
Probably.
They're like shaped like little flip books, little comic books.
And they have
Jesus.
They had some really hysterical ones. Like, for a while, there was a theater festival in San Francisco. And maybe Peaches or one of our San Francisco listeners can tell us more about this, where they would reenact the plots to their comic books. And I try to get myself into that because I turned one of those comic books into a little one-man show. Where I played all the characters.
Did you do the gay one where the person's gay? And
it's
like
about
everybody
a
ends
girl
up having AIDS.
who has sex with her boyfriend and then gets AIDS and kills her doctor.
She kills her doctor?
Well, that's the ending that I put. She kills her doctor and steals his credit cards.
Sounds like an episode of Jerry Springer.
Well, it was this like really fucked up comic book about this girl named Bianca. Who had a hot boyfriend who wanted to have sex with her, and she went to her neighbor asking for her advice, and she said, just these days, just a little pop of penicillin and it'll cure whatever STD you have.
What? Sorry, Tommy, are you drunk?
I fell asleep. I'm just kidding.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
No.
You almost like vomited or something.
Did you just puke a little bit?
No, I was yawning and I didn't want it.
I'm sorry, we kept Tommy here very late.
This
is a long
we
day.
We told him to come at 7.
I was helping I was helping my 97-year-old grandma move yesterday.
Oh, honey.
It was a long day.
Was she packing stuff up?
No, unfortunately she's in a wheelchair, so she's not doing any packing. No, I just didn't want to be like
I know that happens to me too. Well, we have some good comments on the website.
Sorry.
There are some really good comments from the listeners. Listeners, you guys have been doing a fabulous job about commenting and sharing. Keep it up.
On the show with Calpurnia Adams, Randy Strokes writes, kudos, awesome show again. I really love how in depth you both get into guests that have many fascinating layers. While the shows with queens are entertaining and yes, have depth, I really cherish shows like this. Also, I know how hard it is to talk about trans issues with getting a slew of backlash about not doing it right. You have to start somewhere and start with sensitivity, which I think is what happened on this show. And this is why I pay for premium. Love it.
Well, listen, I'm very confident in my experience and opinion on gender and sexuality. And my viewpoint is one of inclusive, meaning that we share more in common than we have differences. So the concept of straight, gay, you know, cisgender, transgender are artificial constructs that don't really describe us as people all the time accurately. And so when you're trying to talk about sexuality and gender identity, you want to talk in a multi-layered, multi-dimensional way in order to like show the richness and diversity of humanity.
Include everyone.
And so people feel also understood because a lot of like people who just come out of the closet, they're like, they love, you know, to wave their flag, but then they start realizing, you know, I don't always have everything in common with other people who use the word gay or transgender or lesbian. And sometimes I don't even want to use those words. I have the right to not do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's nothing wrong. You're not a bad person because you think that the word gay, even though you like to suck dicks and you're a guy, that doesn't apply to you. That doesn't describe you as a person. And that's fine.
You just don't want to be labeled.
Well, it's just you feel like it's a word you rather not use to be describe yourself. You rather use
and that's fine.
You a bro who likes bros.
Yeah.
A man who has sex with me.
Yeah, down low.
And there was a listener, Dana Michelle Scruggs, who just wrote this long, long...
That seems very spammy.
Spammy.
Saying how Calpurnia doesn't represent the real trans experience and that like most of us down here working in the trenches, blah, 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 blah.
And Calpurnia actually is very involved in lots of community and, you know, talks endlessly with people about transgender issues and educates a lot of filmmakers and actors, not just the famous Hollywood ones.
And like you said, she works with people on Facebook. She talks, you know, to these social networking things.
So and she's a working artist, too. Yeah. So to say that she's not somehow in the trenches, that her opinion is not authentic because somehow she's more
she's
famous
celebrity.
Than you are is discounting, you know, her value of her wisdom and experience.
And I'm guessing too that I don't really think that person they didn't really listen to it.
No. So it's people who comment on sites who are without actually like consuming the content. Artemisia actually is a listener of our shows and is transgender and says that she always gets the giggles when we say her name. She's definitely trans and prefers to go by female or neutral pronouns. If I'm presenting guy-like, I don't care if I'm getting called him. It's just when I'm presenting totally girl and someone is intently calling me he to make a point that I'm somehow fake. That's when I get pissed.
I like this story. She says, once at school while studying, a girl came up and asked, "Are you a girl or a guy?" I'd answer, "Yes." She then asked, "Are you a girl?" I said, "No." She then said, "Then you're a boy." I said, "Nope." She was getting agitated, but she was being a pain. So I said, "When do you plan to fuck me?" This made her get embarrassed before she could answer. I said, "Because unless you plan to fuck me, why does it matter?"
Ooh, snap, girl.
That is not a basic bitch.
That is.
That's a bitch with many layers.
She's got to figure that out.
You know.
As Calpurnia said, there are a certain group of trans who hate drag queens and gay culture. I see this in trans who may constantly have to defend that they are not gay from straight people. So understandably, they would feel a little resentment because they're being misidentified with a group that they're not. There's nothing wrong with being gay, but you don't identify that way. It starts to get to you.
Bless you.
Sorry.
And so I was going to edit it out.
This is what really happens behind the scenes.
This is like in the news. In high school, I got called gay and faggot a lot, which I could not reply what I was. This led to bullying and all sorts of issues for me. I think I identify as a girl and I like girls, so I am gay, but I don't look like a girl. So if I'm going to say I'm gay, then I assume I'm not attracted to guys, which gets complicated and so on and so forth. In short, it's a mind fuck.
It sure is. On the podcast we did with Robin Pinocchio on TV shows, The Time Forgot, Than writes, "Listening to the Out of This World theme song brought such unexpected joy. How had you boys not seen it?" I think it was just on, probably on a night when I worked or something, because it was on during the early 90s,
which
right?
show?
Or was it on during 94 or 93 when I was in Europe? I have no
idea. Might have been. Than also...
Out of This World, it's about a girl whose mother was... Her father was was alien, and she could stop time by touching her fingers together.
Was I born
and on
yet?
One episode, she couldn't... Because she was wearing false fingernails, she couldn't put her fingers together to stop time, and so, you know, melee happened.
He also criticized that we didn't mention Facts of Life, Good Times, Family Ties, Mr. Belvedere, Different Strokes.
Like TV shows that Time Forgot?
Small Wonder?
TV shows? I mean, those and so are those, all kind of fucking
Family
big.
Matters or Picket Fences, and those are shows, Hogan Family, those are all TV shows that people well remember, where we're looking for shows that people were like, I didn't know that existed. That's, you know, otherwise...
Yeah, I didn't know that existed.
You know.
And I liked that he said, this show should have been titled, TV Shows Time Should Have Forgot, But Some Assholes Remembered and Post Them on YouTube.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Shuffler, he also, with our show with Connor Habib, the porn star, academic porn star, he said, "Connor is always interesting. What a great interview. He is a perfect example of someone who articulates his opinions well and tells you why. You respect his point of view as well-reasoned, even on what you disagree with. I feel that same way about Colby Keller and Devon Hunter. I assume those are porn stars who are good at talking, have brains.
I'm always interested in talking to people with brains and who are good at talking.
It's always a good start.
You know, and it's funny because anytime that you have any kind of porn star on the show or talk about a porn star, mm-hmm. everybody all says, but you should talk to these porn stars, my favorite porn star.
Well, and one of my big issue with a lot of people who are sex affirmative writers is that they somehow feel that if you're not able to and wanting to have sex with every single shape and size and color a person out there, that somehow you're a bigot. As if your dick was needed to be an equal opportunity imploder.
Impaler.
Impaler. Uh-huh. You know, and it's like, look, I don't, man's rejection is God's protection. Do you really want to have sex with someone who is racist against you? No.
Well, if they're hot, yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Not even if they're hot.
I just knew you were going to say that.
Well, of course.
I don't want to have sex with somebody who's bigoted or prejudiced against me.
Well, and, I want to have sex with somebody who wants me.
Yeah, somebody who desires you, somebody who's interested in you. And if somebody doesn't want to have sex with you, you know, hopefully it doesn't mean that it gets in the way of employment. It doesn't get in your right as a human being to access everything in society. Over. Well, if it does carry us over, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But having sex with somebody should not matter to anybody. You know, yeah. Why you want to have sex with somebody or not have sex with somebody is your own business, mm-hmm. as RuPaul says.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay the bills. Doesn't matter.
But if you're not,
they don't mind because.
But I think also too, it's important to have like an introspection. Are you when you think about like, oh, I'm not into black guys or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, have you really thought about like why you're not into black guys? Is it like, is that really true? Are you into some black guys, but generally you're not into black guys?
Yeah.
Or is it just you're just not into black guys? And it's like, why is that? Why do you not find a black person attractive? Is that because it's what, you know, it's in your heart? It's mm-hmm. what makes your boner go? Or has society conditioned you to say these people are unattractive? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be having sex with them.
But then you start putting that situation. We already, as gay men, have mm-hmm. this shame that somehow we're bad people because we're attracted to men in the first place. And now we're racist because we're attracted to only black men or only white men or only Asian men. Or
why would you be considered racist?
Because you're not attracted to all kinds of men.
But then it's just
you're a bigot hate. Because you're not. You're only attracted to skinny men and not. Large men.
I don't agree with that.
You're considered a bigot because you're only attracted to young men or only old men.
I thought it was kind of interesting that Connor was just like, preference? I can have sex with anyone.
Hmm.
He's like, I could have sex with anyone.
Well, and that doesn't make, as somebody who has sex with, might have had sex with Connor, it doesn't make me feel very special.
I know, it didn't make me feel very special either.
So my feeling is man's rejection is God's protection. If somebody does not want to have sex with you, thank them for it.
Send them a thank you card in a basket.
So shit's still happening in Utah, as you guys know, that, you know, gay people got married in Utah and then they put like a hold on the marriages, but some people, just like in California, had already gotten married, and now the state's taking it to the 10th circuit, and they're producing part of their evidence is the Regeneris study, which had just recently, you know, they filed it beforehand, and then a judge in Michigan kind of said, because it was used in a case there, this thing is bunk, it's garbage, it doesn't really mean anything. It's mm-hmm. he tore it apart. Mm-hmm. And so now they've kind of put an addendum on there. It's like, oh, you know, about that Regeneris study, you don't have to pay attention to a judge, you know, just pay attention to like this one part, because the other stuff, that's not really what we're fighting about. But then now the state of Utah is now going to try and block, because now we have same-sex couples in Utah, mm-hmm. block them from adoption. Because before, you couldn't have single-person adoptions. It had to be like a married couple to adopt. Well, now you have gay people married.
But now gay marriage equality is legal in Utah.
Well, they put a hold on it now.
They put a stay on it.
Yeah, there's a stay on it for now.
But there are some couples who are legally married in Utah, right. And they're able to now adopt, and so
they're not able to adopt.
Utah got in the way of that.
Yes, they're getting into the way of that. So they put like a halt to that, because they're just like, well, you know, these people are already down. Let's just kick them a little bit more.
Well, and it's like, you know, ultimately who suffers about this is kids. They're being used as a political pawn.
With Cookie Monster.
I rather, if I was a little, you know, poor kid and living in, you know, Little Orphan Annie's orphanage with the evil, what was the
Carol Burnett,
but what's the name of her character?
Oh, Miss Hannigan,
making Miss Hannigan. Me scrub, it's a hard knock life
for me,
us.
Clink.
And I'd rather get adopted by gay Daddy Warbucks than, you know, some straight woman who's like, you know,
time to talk about Jesus.
Foster checks. Yeah. Who would you rather have, a Christian fundamentalist parent or like a, you know, rich gay dad?
Well, the Utah would rather have you with the fundamentalist Christian.
Ugh, no, that's child abuse. If you put a kid in a Christian fundamentalist home, that is child abuse.
It is.
Seriously, especially in like, and you know what? This is a crazy thing: is a lot of kids that get adopted into families who religion is not their own. Mm-hmm. The families force the kid to change their name,
really?
And the kids are like, you know, 8 or 9 years old. So imagine you at 8 or 9 years old getting adopted by some fucked up, crazy Christian fundamentalist family with 12 kids because they collect all the foster checks, mm-hmm. and they're forcing you to pray to a new religion, a new god, and new name for you.
What is it, like getting a dog?
So you go from Lakeisha to like Tanya or something? Or,
yeah. Or something. Brittany.
You know, Amber. My name's Amber now.
Yeah. But they changed
my name's Paul.
And it's like, look, this is my identity. This is who I am. And you're asking me to like change who I am? It's like, and so, you know, they've done studies about this, and it turns out that like gay couples are much better at respecting a child's identity than straight couples are. They're actually better foster parents, generally speaking, than, you know,
because
a man
and
a woman.
Because we're not about, like, it should be this way, it should be, you have to
we understand what
we
it feels
like to be different, mm-hmm. and so you just be who you are. And
because we're not basic.
So kids...
far from basic.
Kids who are adopted by same-sex couples actually fare better, and generally speaking, statistically, than, you know... So for a state to not look at that science, to look at those studies, mm-hmm. and to discount them, and you use this as a politics, is deplorable. It is just the most grotesque, horrible thing that a person could do, you know?
And I'm
but
sure,
it happens.
And we hope the court will side with the people in the right, and we'll and Utah will just have to suck it up.
I know.
And come up with other ways to be hateful.
Christian conservatives are upset that Stephen Colbert is now going to be replacing David Letterman on The Late Show on CBS.
Late Show. Yeah.
They're all like, oh, great. Another left extreme liberal replacing another extreme left liberal. And I'm like, how extreme left liberal are these guys?
Well, I'm sorry that Rush Limbaugh isn't funny.
Yeah.
You know. Just funny looking.
He wasn't chosen.
But Stephen Colbert says that he's not going to carry on the persona that he developed for the Colbert Report, and he's just going to play himself. He's just going to be the nice guy, a liberal guy, or
he's my likable guy.
And so, what's going to be interesting, and Stephen said, is like how much of the real me was in that character all these years.
I didn't really know he was doing a character. I thought it was just him.
Yeah,
he's
a smart.
But I didn't really watch the show that much anyway. But
pompous, obnoxious, kind of like us. Only we really are this way.
I'm this way. Chris Shaw writes on Facebook, how often do people recognize you in public? Just somebody recognized us today. We're getting gelato at the new Mariano's right by our house. Mm-hmm. And somebody said,
is that why you asked me to come over so I can just take a picture of you?
Like, come on. Why? Have you not? I just wanted to show it to you.
No, I know. I'm just
plus,
kidding.
We're running a little late. So we're like, Tommy would like this. He could come and have a little ice cream.
Yeah.
You know? It was actually really nice.
I haven't been to the Mariano's, but
we'll
I've heard
take you
things.
There. We'll all take right. you there. And
Albert Diaz, do you guys ever go out for drinks at Hop Leaf in Andersonville?
I haven't been in forever, but they have a wonderful beer selection and I'd like to go, especially if you're treating, Albert.
I've been there for dinner.
Yeah, if any listener wants to take us out for dinner or buy us drinks, you know,
they will go at a drop of a hat.
I'll go.
If we're free, you know, on a weekend, not in the middle of
just don't stick me with the bill.
Yeah. That happened to us one time. We met up with the listener of the show. And
it was
just
a
like,
guest of the show.
It was a guest of the
who
show.
Who was going to take us out to dinner for having us on the show.
Which is even worse, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's not like we're kind of friends or anything. And he just like gave us the bill. And we're just like, are you going to pay for this? And he was like, no, I think your part is $42. Yeah. And we're just like, fuck you.
But they...
That ended.
They invited
us and made it very clear I was gonna we're gonna buy you dinner.
Yeah, he made it clear, but when the check came, he changed his mind.
Right, and so that person's never been on the podcast.
Again. Yes,
and wanted to come back on. I'm like,
we're like, nah,
next.
No,
and it wasn't a RuPaul's Drag Race drag queen.
It was many years ago.
But it, you know, I gotta say, for all the like the drag queens that we've interviewed on the show, they're all been really nice people. Mm-hmm. You know,
they seem like it.
Yeah, they're never like you know, Jinx was a little bit like put off and disoriented like last time she did the show.
Mm-hmm.
But once we started taping, she was like real warm and friendly, mm-hmm. and she really opened up.
And my heart goes out to a lot of these queens because they're touring so much and they're traveling and they're tired and they're exhausted. And you know, they still make time for us and we're grateful for that. Salinas writes on TV shows that time forgot. It made me start thinking about all the crazy telenovelas I used to watch growing up. It made me wonder if Fausto or Mark ever watched some crazy telenovelas. I used to watch one. It was Vivo por Elena, which means I live for Elena. And the theme song was Vivo por Elena by Andrea Bocelli. Is that his name? Is that how you say the Italian guy who's blind who sings really well?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Andrea Bocelli, right?
I'm not familiar with his name.
I do not know this.
You know, and so that's what I was. It was about she was a maid, and the rich guy in the house fell in love with her, and so she was the nanny.
My niece used to be a big fan of Yo Soy Betty La Fea, the telenovela that became Ugly Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched a couple episodes with her before it ever
was really popular. Remember
turned
Ugly
into
Betty?
A show.
Oh, Ugly Betty, the first season was wonderful.
It was just like...
I know, and then it just went downhill.
It went just terrible. Mm. It's yeah.
People, we're in the process of rewriting our press kit. Our press kit is a document that we use to try to convince people to come on the podcast. We also use it to convince people to listen to the podcast, like in the iTunes description. And right now, we describe Feast of Fun as a podcast about fun things we find on the internet and the best interviews with the world's top drag queens. What do you think the podcast is about? Jay Mulzu said, I think Feast of Fun is a real-life open couple who have guests from various escorts of the entertainment industry.
Escorts.
That collaborate in a fun, playful conversation about gay things, gay people, hilariously stupid news articles. Eventually, you'll hear a bell, a horn, or a noise from one, and a sigh from the other. Albert Diaz says, I just tell my friends it's a very gay podcast about gay things. Mm. If they don't like it, it's not for them. Well, but most people do.
But you describe it with drag queens? Like, is it just drag queens? Because you talk to a lot of...
All sorts of people.
Sorts of wonderful people.
Newsmakers and tastemakers. But yes. We do... have
movers and
to
shakers.
There's nobody alive in this planet than Mark and I who have talked to more drag queens, more famous drag queens, and done the longest and most in-depth interviews with these drag queens around. There's nobody else. And PR don't do it. And even like Advocate and Out, their articles with them are like, you know, 600 words.
Yeah. It's like they send them 5 questions.
Sounds
like
an obituary.
They just print whatever it is they write back to them.
And so I think that for a lot of drag queens, they take it as a really precious opportunity. They want to tape the podcast in person in the home studio so their sound is preserved for
eternity. Do most of them come in full makeup or no?
They when they're new, they come in full makeup. And then when they're friends with us, they come out of drag. Although we tell them like, don't come in drag. Like we don't need to do that, you know, but they,
it depends though too. It's like, if they're doing a gig that night and they want, especially if they want photos done and they want a nice photo, then they'll come in drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, it's like, you know, I was so starstruck and happy when we had Adora Delano and Bianca Del Rio on the podcast, but I'm a little pissed off that they've used that photo that I took of them and never thanked or mentioned once who took it.
Well, no,
where
I thought
they use it.
Oh, on their Tumblr page, on their Facebook.
No,
wall.
I thought the Bianca Del Rio had on her Instagram, and it says Feast of Fun.
She did.
It says Feast of Fun podcast.
Yay!
See,
I take it back,
hunty.
Because somebody else had it on. I saw it on her thing, and it didn't have it.
I love you, Bianca.
I like you more than
thank you for sticking up for her.
Yes,
but so
she
yeah,
she can't stick up for herself.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, because she's
so timid.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, like she needs me.
And that that photographer in San Francisco who takes photos of all the drag queens,
Jose Colon Guzman,
Jose Colon Guzman, who, if you don't know, you may not know his name, but you are familiar with his photography because he's photographed all the drag queens. And certainly, like, all the best photos of Peaches Christ are taken by him.
Very cool.
And he and I were, like, commiserating and said, you know, this is kind of what makes photographers not want to take pictures of you drag queens for free is or at a discount is because you bitches don't thank us, you know? You just take the photo, you just run with it.
And you have to respect an artist's work.
Well, and it's just, you know what? If there, the rule of thumb on the internet, if you ever can say thank you, if you ever can get credit where credit is due, do it because it doesn't cost you a penny.
Well, let's say thank you to Edward again for getting us that M-Box because that's a very important piece of equipment. It's very expensive.
Thank you. Thank you.
The show is dedicated to you.
Edward, you were just a saint. I was crying because it was like, you know, to me, weighing on me so much.
But you didn't cry on the machine.
No.
Oh, good.
That would probably make it go out further, you know.
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
It opens up all sorts of like cool little possibilities because I can then spend some money and upgrade to Pro Tools 11, which allows me to do easily do little clips of the shows. And so once we hire, we save enough money to hire a web developer to work on the site, then we can implement previews of some key shows that are locked behind walls and hopefully entice people to subscribe.
Ooh.
And I wanted to shout out to Justin, who ordered a Wolf t-shirt and looks great in it sent us a photo.
Thank you, Justin. You look fabulous.
Thanks, Justin.
And thanks to Thomas J. Hall.
Which is funny. My middle name starts with an L.
What's your middle name?
I told you to guess. He knows.
Larry.
No.
Starts with an L. L-E.
Laverne.
No. Yeah.
L-E-O.
Leon.
No.
N.
Leonidas.
A.
Leona.
R.
Leonard.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
I would suck at Wheel of Fortune.
Oh my God.
Oh, did you see that one episode?
That poor black guy.
The guy? Oh, I saw that clip.
They said the world's the worst Wheel of Fortune player ever. He spun got $1 million. And it came up like, and he didn't pronounce Achilles right?
No, he's like,
A chills.
And they're like, sorry.
And the next one was just like, okay, I made $1,000. And then he had another one too that he got wrong too.
It was like,
instead
so
of
if you mispronounce the word, you don't get it.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Because I mispronounce words all the time.
Yeah, but you're not on Wheel of Fortune.
Right.
But yeah. I think, you know, I want to get Mark on Jeopardy.
To expect a black guy to know who Achilles is, I don't, you know.
I've played trivia with Mark. Mark is amazing. It's scary how good he is. And you would be great at Jeopardy. You would make millions of dollars on that show.
I don't think I would be. No, because the thing is you have to chime in on that thing. And like those buzzers don't always work.
We played trivia with Bill Cruz and thing. And who won?
I won, but we were also playing against idiots.
Well, drunk idiots, too.
Real drunk idiots.
The secret in order to win RuPaul's Drag Race.
About Shakespeare. I'd have to bone. Yeah. I could study for it.
Don't be drunk
while you're playing
any game.
Any game.
It's like that's what the secret. If you want to win on RuPaul's Drag Race, just don't be a hot mess. You know, which is
well,
an
that's
easy
why
thing
they
to
have
say.
A drink minimum now.
I know. So I think that's actually made it harder for the drag queens to succeed. You know.
Yeah.
Because some of these queens are like. They'll just
they'll
down
just
the
keep
drinks.
Going.
Yeah. Like, that's why Shangela
they're
and
like
Mimi
our dog
are first.
In the garbage.
Complimentary drinks in the, in the gold bar. Oh, yeah. Because what? I am sickening.
Sickening. Tommy, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank
all
you
the
for
time
having
you
me.
Do. You sound thank like you have a little cold or something.
Well, the weather's changing.
Yeah.
It's a little rainy out, but I'm glad it's
today
rainy
was
it's
like,
been so
yeah.
dry and dusty lately.
It started off like kind of cold, but then it, you know, it's still nice. And then we had brunch and we were just there for a while and then it just started to pour rain. So it's been quite.
Did you have gay brunch today?
Yeah.
So basic
gay,
gay bitch.
Gay brunch.
I like basic bottom bitch.
It was fun. It was really cool.
You're a basic bottom bitch. You only take one dick up your ass.
Opposed to four.
Yeah.
DP, honey. It's all about DP.
Yeah. DP, hunties.
Get all those.
Tomorrow, the Brian Sweeney joins us to talk about the 7 toxic habits of miserable fuckers. And why being unhappy is not so bad sometimes.
I want to remind folks, too, that, hey, we've got t-shirts for sale at feastoffun.com/store.
Yes.
Get your Hunty t-shirt today.
Hunty t-shirts.
It's going to be fierce and fabulous, honey.
And Fausto's birthday's coming up this Wednesday. He's going to turn 30.
Yay.
Finally.
Are you going to turn 30 on Facebook or no? Are you going to keep
you're
it
leaving
at
29? You're leaving your 20s.
I changed my birthday so it's reflected on the right date, and then I change it back.
Do you have anything planned?
No.
No?
We're going to hang on.
Well, he's going to go to the doctor and get allergy pills.
We're going
to
make a Samoa cake for his birthday and have that.
Bless you.
And then we're going to take him to the doctor for his allergies, like you said.
Yeah. It's a dog, maybe. I don't know.
It's not like you just got the dog today.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.